Anyway, all right, we've got it correct. Is that right? All right. Let's look at our message over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy is, we talk about young Timothy. If you look back, and this is not of great significance, but sometimes just knowing some of this background material, Timothy started out as a young man with Paul and so forth, but by the time Timothy is pastoring a church, from all the evidence that can be gathered, he was somewhere in his 30s, between 30 and 40, okay? And so he's not a young kid going in to pastor a church, and he's at this place, and you say, why is that relevant? He's still being instructed, though, to not go back to childish things, and that's really important. That's why we need to understand this. Timothy's a very strong young man. He's in charge here. He's the pastor of this church. But the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is writing to say to this guy, and he's, you know, and he's at least in somewhere in his 30s. So he's not a young teenage guy, but he's saying to him, Timothy, there's some things that you've got to be careful that pop up from your youth and can still bite you. There's some things you've got to work hard to leave behind. You've got to be who God wants you to be. And it's like interesting instruction for somebody at that age. But nevertheless, if you hear what he's doing and what he's saying, it's like, don't ever think. Listen, and I don't think any of you do, but it's just a word here before we go any further. This is one of those messages, right? You know, Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, don't ever think that you've learned enough. Don't ever think that you know this well enough not to learn more. That's why I'm real reluctant to say to you when I bring a message. I won't say it when I'm bringing a message. Well, okay, that covered that. We won't be going to that one. Why, next year you may hear on the same passage and more insights. Is that if you keep studying, you'll find out the more you study in the scripture, the less you know. And you can get caught up into thinking you know a lot when you don't. And that's a caution to every pastor, and that's why, and every teacher of scripture, and that's why, you know, Paul is writing this under the influence of the Holy Spirit to say, Timothy, don't think you know it all, because it'll reach up and bite you if you do. And so he hits him here. He's been telling him, please read the whole chapter. I really want to cover more here and cannot do it. But he was telling him to work hard, to present himself to God and receive God's approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth and on and on. But we're going to take the heart out of it here and say, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. With this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and all those who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. And your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Then he says, run, and this is why this is interesting. This guy's getting on up towards his 40s, and he's saying, he's still having to remind him, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust or youthful desires. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. I did not include in here, but I'll just throw it out for you to study on your own, because some of you need to hear this. And I caution people more and more on this, so I'll just leave you this, and no one won't be bringing a message on it. And he says, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. That's thrown in as a plus. There's no charge for that one. But it's and when he's talking about leaving these useful things and all that, he's saying, leave behind being so dadgum contentious and getting in arguments or causing them when they don't make any difference. And we'll bring a message on that one of these days, on contention and causing contention and how to be more at peace in your heart. But today, let's just start with this for the sake of time and working through this. And so just grab this first thing. God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. You know, the Lord really knows you. That's where we started here. The Lord knows you. He knows who you are. He knows exactly who you are, and he really knows you from top to bottom. And it says, God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. Listen to this. I know, and I hear it. I see it. I'm watching all kinds. I mean, I'm watching some pretty... I listened to one major theologian really drop the bomb on another guy. I don't know if any of you have heard this, but I can't say names up here. But one well-known theologian in California dropped a bombshell. And I had to really listen to it because it was a book. It was because of a book written by another, probably the most prominent TV personality today. And they'd been to California and spoke at a big coliseum. But the book they wrote, and the theologian out there is well known. You'll know the name, and you can ask me after church if you want to know. But he really dropped a bomb on the guy for straying from the truth of the Word of God and trying to please people in the book rather than telling the truth of what God really says in His Scripture. And he accused him of being a pantheist. That's a pretty hard accusation. You know, and pantheism, you know, that you're getting in when you look at pantheism, a whole lot like, you remember Star Wars and the Force, let the Force be with you, the Force that comes from all living things. And so, wow. And so, anyway, what for us today, it's not what they're doing and one dropping a bomb on the other. It's just simply this. What God says in God's Word is exactly what God means, and He's not going to change it because it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Okay? He's not a mean God. He's not out to crucify somebody. There's already been one crucified. Nobody else has to be crucified. But listen, God is also not going to change His Word to please society. We good on this? That's the foundation you have to stand on, because if God's Word begins to change, or if you start thinking in your heart, God is a changeable God, then you have no foundation. I have people, and I've mentioned this before, but it really concerns me when they say to me, I hope I'm going to make it. And it's like, not make it to live for tomorrow, but to heaven. It's like, why do you think you're going to, why do you have to hope you're going to make it? Because God might kick me out. I mean, I might displease Him. I might fall from my grace that He's given me. Friends, if that's the case, we are lost. The Scripture says, if you believe in your heart, look in Romans. He says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it also says we're sealed in the Holy Spirit, sealed with God's seal. He seals us as His own. He knows us until the day of salvation. You can't live this life doubting God's Word. But also, don't expect Him to change it to meet social mores. Our society is getting to where it stands for nothing. Do what you want. Think what you want. Now it's, you know, in a lot of places, you know, we're all aware of this, and I haven't followed up on this real close, but, you know, up to what, $700-something, you won't even be arrested committing a crime? Are you aware of this? Yeah, it's not a misdemeanor. It's nothing. Won't even haul you in. So you can steal up to $700 and it's okay. But God says stealing can send you straight to hell just like anything else. And God says there's not a $700, $750 whatever allowance here in Scripture. Lying is lying. Stealing is stealing. Coveting is coveting. Take it down the list, right? And He's saying, I don't give a percentage or an allowance. If you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. And you have to repent of it. And you have to stop it. You have to be working on it. Be consistent. So God's truth doesn't change. And we're being hard hit. We really are. And a lot of so-called Christian speakers today are flowing with the tide. And I'll tell you for two reasons why. Popularity and money. You can go into ministry, never go to seminary, never study the Word, don't know anything about Greek and Hebrew, anything else, but if you got a good personality and get you a good marketing manager, you can grow a great big church, and it's a church in name only, because the church of the living God, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaches and teaches and attempts to practice the truth of the Word of God. It stands on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that's it. And salvation in Him alone. You say, well, you're preaching to the choir here, but there's a lot listening, and you need to know there's no other way. There's no other way. And God knows who you are. And He, listen, in Scripture, in the Greek, when it says knows, it doesn't mean He knows your address. He knows your phone number. He dials you up in prayer, says, how are you doing today? When it says God knows those who are His, do you know what that really means? He intimately knows you. He's married to you. He knows. He knows you. He knows when you snore. He knows what you think in the shower. That's a rough one, isn't it? He knows what you think when you're driving alone. He knows when you look over there and look over there and you're saying, oh, wow. He knows all of that. But He knows more than that. God knows why you're depressed. He doesn't just know you're depressed. God knows why you're depressed. God knows why you're down. God knows why you're lethargic. God knows why you're angry at Him. God knows why you've drifted like you have. He knows you. You're married to Him through Christ. He knows you. And you say, okay, I get it. But He knows you, don't you see? Everything you go through, God knows it. He knows you. He knows what you're going to say in any situation before you say it. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. You say, is this significant? He knows who you are. And listen, He intimately, in the Greek, it's meaning He knows everything there is to know about you inside and out. But what He wants from us is to start to know Him. Do you know God inside and out? I mean, nobody can fully know Him, but you follow me here? You're married to Him. You need to know if He snores. You follow me? There's some things about God that the Scripture reveals you need to know. And people will, and they'll say to you, well, how am I to know God? I can't touch God. And it's like, read the New Testament. Jesus is God. And you read about Jesus, you're reading about God revealing Himself in the presence of a man but fully God. And look at the way Jesus was on this earth, and you're seeing how God is, and get to know Him. You need to know God. Listen, people say, Tony, how do I know God's will? Get to know God. Know Him. People are searching everywhere. I hear it in you all the time. I just wish I knew what His will is. It's like, if you would just work at knowing God instead of His will, you won't be asking God what is your will. You'll be saying, God, help me to do your will today, because you'll know it. You know Him as an intimate partner. You know what He wants for you. Guys, it's Father's Day. Do you come home guessing what your wife wants of you? If you've messed up a few times, you obviously should know by now what she wants of you and doesn't want of you. You know her that well, don't you? You know what to say and not to say when you come in that door. Well, okay, I see some people looking at each other. We got some work in those areas to do, I see. Well, when you walk into God's door, when you walk in prayer, you walk in reading your Scripture, You ought to know what he wants. What will please my Lord with this? And what will please my Lord in my attitude today? How can I please my marriage partner? You are married to him. You're one in Christ. So when you ask Jesus in your heart, you become one with him, one with God. And he knows you. And our purpose and our calling is to know God, to become like his son, Jesus Christ. Everybody with me on this? I need to know what he wants me to pray. It's like, hey, God, my father, my marriage partner, what do you want me to say to you today? What words, Lord, would make you pleased with me? He wants us to think that way. You ever bring God flowers? You say, what? Do you ever bring him flowers? Guys, do you ever think about bringing the Lord flowers? What does that mean? You bring him the openness of your heart. That's a flower. That's an open rose before God. When I open my heart to the Lord and I admit to God that without Jesus, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. And I need you. I'm opening up to God the roses of my heart. I'm giving him the beauty of my soul. God wants that brought to him. That kind of relationship. I say, Lord, here's my soul. Here's my heart. Here's my words today. Here's my thoughts. Here it is. And God said, that's what I want. You're bringing me flowers. You're bringing me the beauty of your heart. I'll put it in holy water. And I'll let it blossom because of your honesty, your openness, your dependence on me. That's what we're here to be, is God's flower gardens, bearing fruit, smelling wonderful. Everybody see that? I was watching little hummingbirds out there, you know, and they're going for those little hummingbird feeders, and I planted a bunch of wildflowers, and you know, because there's not much in my country. You know, they should name that instead of London, Texas, where out there should be Drought, Texas. Because it misses, it rained 4 inches, 4 inches in Junction and 2/10 in my area. And that's the way it usually is. And so, anyway, the little hummingbirds, just whatever little thing they can find. But they're, you know, they find a little flower and they're fighting over that one flower. And they're just going to it. So I put up these little feeders for them. And then I watched that, and it's like, oh, wow, Tony, do you see this lesson here? This is exactly what God wants your life to be, where others can come and they get nectar from your soul. People ought to be buzzing around us, not because of you and me, not because of us, but because of him. Jesus Christ, our hope of glory, and they're feeding from the nectar, the living water that overflows. They can get love, they can get appreciation, they can get understanding, they can get recognition, and they can get truth and love. Isn't that neat? That's what we're here to do. And then let them come in. That's why, you know, opening this heart, and God knows you and he wants you to know him. God made you, he loves you. God in Christ died for you. He really knows you, friends. He knows every feeling, desire, and thought, whether you want him to or not. But by the way, this morning, he knows every hurt in your life. He knows every pain and every disappointment and every failure and every sin. You realize that? I mean, don't just acknowledge it in your head. Do you really realize it? Do you get it in your heart? You say, you don't know how bad I was tromped on. You don't know how bad that person back there hurt me. No, but he does. I don't know how bad. I can't feel your feelings, but he does. And it's one of our standard quotes here. If it matters to you, everybody say the rest of it. That's the rest of it. If it matters to you,
it matters to God.
There you go. Okay, thank you. That's right. If it matters to you, it matters to God. If it hurts you, he feels it. If you're in pain because somebody wounded you, God feels that pain. And he wants to help you if you let him. You say, well, I was married once before, and you just don't know how trash this whole thing was. He does. He does. He knows how it feels. He knows what it's like to be betrayed. He knows what it's like to be talked about. He knows what it's like for somebody to go out with somebody else. You say, really? Judas did. Didn't Judas have an affair with the Pharisees? Symbolically, didn't that's what he did? For a few pieces of silver, he prostituted himself. He sold Jesus out. Yeah, Jesus knows what it's like. He's been there, done that. Think he writes you off and says, oh, get over it? No, he holds out his hand saying, if you just give that to me, that whole mess, I'll take it from you. Call unto me all your burden heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come on, give it to me. I'll take it. I'll take your wounds. I'll take your scars. I want you to open up. I don't want you to be a withered bunch of flowers in here that somebody tromped on and didn't water. If you'll open up your heart, I'll get those old nasty things out. I'll dump out that old filthy stuff. And I'll put in living water. I'll make you a blooming rose out here that everybody can dip into. If you'll just give me a chance. Just let me. I'm not even going to get past the first point if I don't move. I got to move on. It's just such good stuff in these things. It's God's truth stands firm. He knows those that are His, and all that belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. He says, get away from the stuff. Get away from sin and evil and junk. Man, come to me in prayer and confession, fellowship. Let's have fellowship. We have relationship. Have fellowship. God wants you honorable. You see this? In a wealthy home, some utensils. You ever read this and kind of wonder, does this one ever throw you a little bit? It's kind of weird. But what he's saying is this. Get this. Tie this in with another passage. You remember when Jesus talked about throwing out the net and gathering in all these fishes and all the fish, and the bad fish are thrown out and the good fish are kept? But they were in the net. Listen to this. They were in the net. And he says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. Watch this. Catch this. Take this and drive deep with it, because here's what he's trying to say. In my church, there are good and there are bad. We think the church is just going to be filled with just good people. There's bad people that the devil sends into any church. And one day that trumpet's going to sound, and there's going to be that great ingathering, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff because they look the same. If you ever wonder why is it certain things happen in church, why is there some people just seem, because they may not be gods, but they look like it. They talk like it. Is everybody with me? But they're in the same net. They're in the same household. And he said, there's some of these utensils in here. They're for honorable purposes, and there's some for dishonorable. Now here's the good news for you. You may be a vessel that's been rather dishonorable. Maybe you feel like the old kitchen sink where all the garbage is thrown. And friends, I want to tell you something. You don't have to stay that way, because it says the expensive utensils are used for special occasions and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a clean utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. You can be a dirty vessel today. One that's just used for everyday purposes. Not much account, but just there. And the minute you open your heart, you confess your sins. The blood of Jesus can cleanse you and turn you in to the most beautiful of vessels. You follow me? You don't have to be dirty. And you don't have to be using your past and the stains of your past as a reason or an excuse or whatever you want to call it for not being what God wants you to be today, because God can take away, and God can take the filthiest vessel and cleanse it with the blood of the Lamb, and He can make it shine. And that's what He wants to do. No matter what your stains are. No matter what in the world has gone on in your life, or what you wish hadn't gone on, what you've done, they've done, it doesn't matter. God can make you into a most honorable vessel. And you don't have to be one of those fish that's cast out. Just watching in The Chosen, they threw over their nets, and then, you know, Jesus used as an illustration of the fish, and they cast out the bad ones and keep the good. But they were all in the net until they were separated. And God, Jesus will come with his angels, and they'll separate the good from the bad. You don't have to be the bad. You don't have to be guessing. Is everybody following this? You can be the most honorable vessel if you'll just open up your heart. God knows you, and he wants you to know him. To keep yourself pure. What does that mean? I'm not going to try to finish this. I've run short of time. But it says, you know, in that wealthy home, there's some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. What are you? Gold and silver? If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, and if you don't and you let him today, you may have come in here as wood and clay, but he can walk out of here as gold and silver. The cheap ones are used for everyday use. To keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil. And you say, how do you keep yourself pure? We're going to cover that again. We'll hit it next week. But let me just close with this. One of the ways to keep yourself pure is to confess every time you're impure. Don't hide it. Don't run from it. Don't make excuses. Friends, listen to me. The greatest favor you'll ever do yourself in your walk with God is never blame anybody else for your failures, your sins, your shortcomings. You take it on yourself. You take the hit on your own chin. You take it on the shoulders, I used to say. And you admit it to God. I caused that argument. My facial expressions made them upset. I said those words knowing it would aggravate them. Now, we do. We'll say little things. We'll make somebody upset. And then we'll say, well, why are you acting that way? And God is going, because of you. You provoked it. I was watching this Support Your Local Sheriff. Anybody ever seen that old funny movie? Where he arrests a guy because he faked with one hand and drew with the other. He did this to get the guy to draw. And when the guy drew, he shot him. But he faked him into doing it with this fake move of the shoulder. And the guy drew, thought he was drawing on him. Anyway, he gets arrested and all that. Friends, how many times do we ever do the little fake maneuver in our Christian experience to get somebody to shoot so we can nail them and blame them when we caused it? And he said, that's impure. Stop that. You're baiting people. I would ask you to show a hand, but I don't want anybody to show. How many of you, once in a while, just want to get in an argument? Just want to start an argument? Okay. Thanks, Christy. I'm glad you raised your hand. That's a very honest gesture. There's two hands over here. Just want to fight. Well, I mean, what's wrong with y'all? Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else ever do that? I mean, you know what you're doing, and you're just giving that little, you know, little, yeah, oh yeah, just bait them. And God says you want to be with me and intimacy with me. Stop doing that. What's that? Well, there's a good, it's you start these things to break up the monotony. Oh, Lord. The things we learn. Appreciate your honesty. And God, what is God saying, though, really? He's saying, you know, get this stuff. Get these impurities out. He's not here to beat you in the head. But he's saying, don't do that. Remember old hee-haw? No, most of you don't. They'd come in with complaints to the doctor, and he'd whack them and say, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't bait people. And listen, when you start letting those thoughts run through your mind of what's been done to you, how people have misused you, and they have. Sure, everybody in this room's been misused. If you're a Christian, you've been abused. You've had stuff happen to you. And when it starts running through your mind, before it reaches the full stage of self-pity and woe me, which it will for any of us, that, you see, that's where this purity of heart comes in. That's when I say to God, God, do you realize, you know, that's the way I talk to him. Of course he realizes, but I say anyway, do you realize what I'm doing right now? And it's like, duh. Do you? But I need to say it that way. Do you realize that I'm feeling sorry for myself? That I'm working myself into a depression? God, I'm doing this. I'm letting things that's happened in my past come back. And if you're not careful, you'll start fearing they'll happen again. Anybody like that? Anybody ever been afraid to get in a relationship because you're afraid that will happen again? If you're afraid that will happen again, you will help it to happen again. So get pure heart. And how do I get pure heart? I confess it. I can't make myself pure. But if I confess my sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and do what? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God can take your hurt, your sins, your stains, your weaknesses, and he can make you something that's beautiful if you'll just give it to him. You can bloom again. And have them just swarming around, wanting the sweet nectar of the love of Jesus flowing from your heart. If you'll just let go, knowing that God knows you, now get to know him and let this happen. We'll finish the next half of this next time. Father, we thank you for your word, for this Father's Day. We thank you for the power and the love and the goodness and the grace, but the solid, absolute truth. And thank you, God, for putting up with us, for helping us when we cry out, for forgiving us when we fail. God, take us and make us pure, wholesome, clean, serviceable to you. We praise you, God. Help us bloom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.